You are now listening to the Project Kuwait.
To the Project Kuwait.
To the Project Kuwait.
Where we stop at nothing to bring you the right facts on health, fitness, and psychology. Featuring some of the world's most experienced professionals. So you can learn, lift, and live. With your hosts, Meg, Dr. D, and Mehdi.
Hey everybody, welcome to this episode, and today I get to sit down with Tanner Schuck. Now, this was one of the better episodes that I've done just because Tanner is such a great guy, an amazing trainer, and his philosophies and beliefs paramount to a lot of what we hear in the fitness industry. So stick around, enjoy this episode. Please don't forget to leave us a rating and review, and talk to you guys later.
All this and more in today's episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of the podcast. And I am chilling with Tanner Schuck, True Strength. The guy's an all-out badass. DXB Championship, champion 2014. Ex-D1 American football player, right? And just all-out badass, dude. Like, you're fucking hobbling around on crutches for 2 years, and you were still hitting the gym pretty hard, man.
No matter what I do, like, I'm always going to find a way to train. Whatever obstacle I have, like, I'll find a way to get it in, you know, so it's important to me.
Dude, that's awesome. Now, a little bit of a backstory. My wife just recently broke her hand. Yeah, well, broke her arm in two different places, had some freaking metal rods put in there, all kinds of shit. She's a power lifter. And first thing she did when she fell to the ground was like, oh no, I'm 7 weeks out of my meet. How can this happen to me now? So now she's worried about the recovery part. What can you say to athletes? And I wanted to jump on this right away. What could you say to athletes that are plagued by injury and they're just plagued by injury for like a year? We all go through it. I mean, hell, I used to be a baseball player, tore two labrums. So what's your motto on that?
Well, I can definitely empathize. Like, I've literally been plagued with injuries for over 5 years. It'll be 6 years straight, basically, since 2014. And my biggest takeaway, or what I'd like to pass on to people, is literally your mindset and just staying positive no matter whatever you're going through. And just, I like to think I'm just happy to be alive. I'm happy to be able to exercise and train. And I like to practice gratitude a lot and just be thankful for what I can do. And I don't like to think about what I can't do. And I know at some point in time, these injuries will heal and get healthy. And so what I'd like to tell everyone else, if they're dealing with injuries, just know it's temporary. Take one day at a time, be smart in your recovery and your rehabilitation, and just keep going through it. And time will pass and you'll get healthy.
Yeah, no, that's a good motto to go by. Now, let's talk about some of your injuries, man.
Sure.
I mean, because when I saw that you said you were on crutches for 2 years, what was that all about?
It wasn't 2 years consecutively, but I've definitely spent over 2 years of my life on crutches, in a wheelchair, or like in a walking boot. Easily. I've had, I think, around 13 or 14 orthopedic surgeries.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah. A lot, man. It's like, my medical history could be an entire podcast, like I said, but, basically I've kind of reconstructed my ankle. I've had probably 7 knee surgeries. That's both knees included. And yeah, just like I said, I've spent a lot of time on crutches and kind of going through rehabilitation. And for the first time in a long time, I'm actually feeling healthier than I have since 2014. So we're in 2020 now. I've gone through quite a bit, you know, but no matter what, just figured out a way to stay positive and stay in the best shape I can, even though I'm injured or I've been injured.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, honestly, like, people throw this term around loosely, which is, oh, that person shows grit, or, you know, they're really grinding through a workout. Now, in your videos on Instagram, like, you fucking grind, man. Like, when you push the weight, you can tell. There are people where they, you know, they say, oh, this is a PR for me, and you don't see it in their face at all.
Right.
You know, and they say, oh, no, you hide your emotions, which I think, or in my opinion, is if you're really pushing something, you're pushing the limits, it's going to show on your face. And in every one of those videos, it showed on your face that you really do push the limits. So, do you think that's part of why you went into injuries, or was it from the football background, CrossFit background? Is it just...
That's a really good question.
The body breaks down. Matt, we all know that.
It does. And I probably didn't train as intelligently as I should have, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. And I've definitely came a long way. I don't really feel like my injuries were a result of my training methodology, more or less. I do think football, playing American football my entire life, did have something to do with it, because all of my injuries kind of stemmed from one injury that I had playing football, which was I tore my ACL ligament in my knee.
Damn.
And that led to actually having other injuries with my left knee because I was compensating with that.
Yeah.
And that's an entire backstory. But
what position did you play, man?
I played linebacker and also a bit of safety.
Oh,
played defense.
Damn, dude. Yeah. Shit, defense. Man. That injury must have sucked.
It was hard to get through. I mean, I came back from it and I recovered, but my ACL ligament and my reconstructed knee, it wasn't really done correctly, and my knee was never quite stable. And so that led to me, like I said, compensating with my left knee, and also my meniscus in my right knee kind of eventually just kind of wore away. And so I've had a meniscus transplant on my right knee, another ACL done on my right knee. My left knee, I've had a really bad issue with my quadriceps tendon. I've torn that and I've had that repaired multiple times. So my dude, I'm all fucked
yeah,
up.
Man. Yeah, you're walking.
I'm all fucked
man.
Up and both shoulders.
Coming back from an ACL, that's huge to come back from. I don't know if you know who Dustin Pedroia is. He's a second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. Manny Machado slid into him, spikes up, took out his knee. Pretty much his career is done. And, you know, he has to have full knee reconstruction. He's had like six surgeries so far, five surgeries. And I don't think he's ever coming back to play. And you hear about an ACL or a knee injury that just ends careers. How did you come back from that?
I just refuse to believe that. People have told me, oh, you may never be the same again, or you may never play again. Like literally my right knee, I had a meniscus transplant. Most people don't even know, or they're not familiar with that even procedure exists. But literally I took a cadaver, a dead person's healthy meniscus, and had it transplanted in my knee because I had no meniscus cartilage left. And also I had the ACL done at the same time. And people would tell me, oh, you're never going to be the same. And I don't believe that. I just kind of say, you know what? I'm going to figure this out for myself. I'm going to stay positive. I'm going to keep working. And right now my right knee, feels better than it ever has, like in years. And if someone tells you your career is over, that's up to you whether or not you choose to listen to them. Like, I'm a big proponent of kind of staying positive and self-belief, and that's what's got me through. So if someone said my career is over, I'll just choose not to listen to them and figure it out for myself and just try to stay positive each day and keep working.
How's the rehab of that? I mean, obviously, you know,
it was, dude, it's long, slow, and tedious. But as long as I can see a little bit of progress day to day, week to week, month to month, then, you know I'm headed in the right direction. Like I said, man, it's like kind of a choice in your mind to whether believe you can come back or not. And I choose to believe that I can, despite what I've been through.
I see this with my wife right now where she will just break down in tears because she's like, it's so humbling being back to this point of, you know, an empty bar or whatever. How hard is that part? Mentally. I mean, especially for you coming at it from coming at it as an ex-football player, go, 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 ex-DXB champion. So how was that mentally when you had to take a step back and maybe go back to just greens on either side of a bar?
That might be kind of a hard question for me to completely answer because I've had so many injuries and I've had to start over so many times. I say the first couple times, the first few injuries I've had and the obstacles I've had, it was quite hard. I was like, fuck, man. All I want to do is get healthy and compete because, like, I know I'm really good at fitness, but I just haven't had enough opportunities to prove that. And it was hard. But no matter what, man, I just chose to stay positive and just keep working. And, like, I just, like, tell myself, like, I know this sounds kind of silly, but, man, I'm alive. I'm healthy. There's a lot I still can do. And so I would choose to focus on that. Everything, it could always be worse. You know, there's people rolling around in wheelchairs, people with only one leg, and they're fine. So I just choose to think about, you know, what I can do, and it could always be worse. And like I said, man, just take one day at a time.
That's awesome, man. That's a great philosophy to go with. Now, I mean, going into that, I did see like a lot of your Instagram, you have a lot of functional movements, a lot of the bare basic things. A lot of the shit that I did in high school and in college that my coaches taught me, which was, you know, one thing that I love seeing was the kettlebell walks with the towels. And you did a lot of stuff with towels, you know. And that,
for sure.
You know, as a baseball player, you grew up grip strength.
Super important. I can't really overstate how important it is, in my opinion.
Did a lot of that come from your injury background and your rehab and just knowing to these are the little things that I need to do? Or was that just already a base that was there?
That really didn't come so much from my injury or rehabilitation. I had incredible strength and conditioning coaches when I was in college. Like literally in my opinion, the best strength conditioning coaches in the nation. And like, I'd give a shout out to Yancey McKnight and also Jared Kaihalo, incredible strength coaches. And they introduced me to a lot of the training that I still do today. It's very basic, but very effective. And it's just like true strength and conditioning. And you don't see many CrossFitters doing that today just because they've probably never been exposed to it. So I had a huge advantage in that regard that I've been training a long time. My training age is quite up there, per se.
Yeah.
I've been training my entire life. I've been exposed a lot. I've seen a lot. I've figured out what works and, you know, what's bullshit. So
you're not far from me. You're 30 years old. I'm 36.
Yeah. So. 32, actually. Fuck. I wish I was 30.
You're 32. So
yeah.
You did come around. Like, I'm sure you saw the muscle mags back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think we all grew up on that.
Did,
before,
man.
The internet and shit. And you just kind of had to learn on your own. I mean, that's now, what would you say is different from then to now?
Regarding like my training philosophy
regarding training in general? Training in
general,
I'd say for the average person and just people in general, because now there's so much bullshit.
Dude, there is so much bullshit and there's so much more to do. I think, you know, they say the golden era of bodybuilding was like in the 1990s. Dude, that was kind of before CrossFit started, before like MMA became really popular, before there was different divisions in bodybuilding and also strength conditioning. There's just so much more. And CrossFit, whether you like it or not, it kind of has revolutionized the way people look at training and fitness. So I think it's came a long way and there's definitely a lot more information out there. But at the same time, there's a lot more bullshit to kind of sift through. All I know is you can never go wrong just lifting weights. Getting stronger literally makes you better at everything. And I'm just a huge proponent of doing basic bare bones strength. Like just squats, deadlifts, bench presses, lunges, you know, rows, pull-ups. Like that shit has been around forever. It's proven to work and it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
And I think that's one thing we've always preached on this podcast is resistance training is king.
It is king.
You can run, but that's not going to give you the bone density that you need.
No, no way. Or the muscle mass to keep you healthy and strong. Like lifting weights, especially in my opinion, with kind of short rest intervals in between to get that cardiovascular effect. It's literally the optimal way to train. There's like no better way to train that offers more value for your time or a better return on your investment. Lifting weights, it's the way to go.
What's your training look like, or what is your training modality look like for a client or for someone that comes up to you?
A client?
Yeah, or someone that comes up to you, they've never lifted a weight before in their life and they're like, hey, I want to do a program with you. Where would you have them start?
People, you might think this is kind of funny, and people pay me a lot of money to tell them to do these things. Strict push-ups, basic body weight, squats. If they can do that confidently, then I'll add load with like a goblet squat, front squats, back squats, any kind of squatting variation. Deadlifts, I'm a huge proponent of doing trap bar deadlifts, rows, body weight rows, strict pull-ups. Like literally the same way I train myself, I would train a beginner. Obviously, just scale down a bit quite a bit.
Yeah, dial it down.
Dude, but you train people. The human body is the human body. You know what works. Compound movements.
100%. Yeah. Why the trap bar? I know why I prefer it.
Man.
I would, but.
This is like it's another thing I don't really like about CrossFit. CrossFit just force feeds the conventional deadlift and all that. And there's so many great ways to train. And trap bar, in my opinion, is a far underutilized
100%, yeah.
training tool. And I love the trap bar because it kind of incorporates more muscle into the lift. You're able to use more legs. It's not exclusively overloading, you know, your posterior chain.
Yeah.
And it's a more natural, comfortable lift. Like I said, it recruits more muscles. You can use more legs and you can actually lift heavier and you can kind of reap better strength gains. It all depends on training specificity. Like if I'm doing CrossFit or I'm doing a powerlifting meet, then obviously I would probably do more conventional deadlifting.
Yeah.
But just for brute strength and power, like the trap bar, I feel like that and the back squat are kind of unparalleled movements.
Yeah,
just for total body strength. And I love it because it doesn't overload your back either. I've seen a lot of people hurt themselves trying to go too heavy on a straight bar deadlift. Did a trap bar, if you keep your chest up and your back flat, it's anything can happen, but you're less likely to become injured and you can just get strong that way.
It almost naturally puts you into that optimal position.
Exactly.
Like it puts you, it's almost like it's an everyday movement.
Dude,
like when you
pick up your grocery trap bars,
you're picking up like a trap bar deadlift.
Dude, it just makes sense, man. And that's why I do it. I literally make all my clients do it. Some of my clients do straight bar deadlifts, but if I have a choice between a trap bar and a conventional straight bar deadlift, I'll go trap bar probably 9 times out of 10. Unless, like I said, they're a powerlifter or like a competitive CrossFitter.
Yeah.
It all depends on what you're training for.
Now, if let's stick with the deadlifts a little bit. There are so many different variations to it. If you were to pick, besides the trap bar deadlift, what else would you pick out of the deadlift family, so to speak? And we can go with dumbbells too, as something you would prescribe that would give you the most bang for your buck.
I'd probably say, again, I do like straight bar conventional deadlifts, and I probably would go with that. And I might go with from a slight deficit. So you might stand on like rubber mat or like a plate just to kind of increase the range of motion. That way you can recruit more muscle and you're not going too heavy, because you can't go quite as heavy from a deficit as you could from just standing on the floor normally. And I love that movement. I mean, nothing is going to really train your posterior chain better than like just a deadlift. You know, you can't reinvent the wheel.
100%.
And so you can load that bar, you can load it up quite heavy, and you can just get a better strength stimulus doing that. So like, again, man, I keep things simple. I know what works. So yeah, that would be like a straight bar deadlift. I prefer a conventional. You can do some sumo if you want, but I mean, everyone's got their kind of training biases and their favorites. And
100%. Yeah, that's true. I mean, for me personally, like everyone says, oh, the king of all exercises is either the squat or the king of all exercises is the deadlift.
You could argue either one.
Dude,
sure.
Mine's a bent over row. I think that's the king of all exercises for me, because that, to me personally, gives me the most bang for my buck.
Dude, everything's in there. I'm a huge proponent of bent over rows. I love them.
I think it's forgotten. I think especially like in CrossFit, they don't do shit like that enough.
Man,
there's not enough of the bodybuilding
aspect. I've posted so many videos of me doing heavy bent over rows. Like, I honestly love it. And that's a great exercise that's definitely underutilized. Just rowing variations in general are not done enough in the CrossFit world. They're literally not.
Yeah.
Like, dude, rowing is amazing.
I'd say that and rotation. Like, yeah. No rotation in CrossFit.
No, yeah. Everything's, dude, pretty just straight line, you know, kind of unilateral. No, none of that stuff. And man, I've been in the functional fitness world now for like 7 years. I used to be all CrossFit, because all I cared about was competing. And now it's kind of, I've stepped outside of that world a bit, and I just stick with what works and what gets you strong and what people should be doing. And there's so much more to training than just doing snatch, clean and jerk, deadlift, and, you know, front squats. You can do so much.
So like what else can other people do?
I kind of touched upon it briefly before, but literally everyone, I think they should do some kind of squatting variation, some kind of deadlift variation, some kind of single leg training, whether that's a step up, a lunge, a split squat. Everyone should be doing some kind of vertical pulling. My go-to is obviously a strict pull-up, and everyone should be doing horizontal pulling, whether that's any kind of rowing variation, obviously pressing, an overhead press and a horizontal press, whether that's a bench press, dumbbell bench press, doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, those are like the mainstays. They should be the mainstays in any effective training program.
What's one of the biggest like pet peeves that you've seen, I would say, in gyms in Dubai? I mean, you haven't been to Kuwait. I mean,
no.
I could give you a million of them in Kuwait.
Honestly, I think the pet peeves in gyms are kind of universal. Like, the same bullshit happens here in Dubai as it would, you know, happen in the United States or whatever in Europe. My biggest pet peeves are people not mastering the basics, not building a foundation in strength. People trying to do kick up into a handstand or doing handstand pushups when they can't even properly do a strict press. People trying to do kipping pull-ups when they can't even do one single strict.
What would you say to a coach that has their, I mean, I saw a coach do this the other day where they posted there, they're like, oh, my, you know, client finally did a handstand pushup and it was a kipping handstand pushup. And what would you say to that? Because my coach was like, you're not doing a kipping handstand a kipping handstand pushup until you can do strict.
Yeah, until you're competent. Exactly. Until you're competent in that strict movement. What would I say to that coach? Yeah.
Besides, you're an asshole.
Yeah. That's a really hard question for me to answer, because that kind of triggers me, to be honest, man. That's a huge pet.
I mean, hey, remember, you can say whatever you want on this podcast.
I wouldn't say this to him, but I would just immediately think to myself, this motherfucker doesn't know what they're doing. That's what I would think. I'm sorry if I'm being honest. And I feel like they're doing a disservice to their client as well. Like, dude, just get strong doing strict basic movements. If you can do things strict, then when you add anything dynamic like kipping or any kind of jumping or rebounding, then that shit is easy if you've mastered basic strict strength. So if I see that going on, then I probably just assume, you know, they don't know any better. And I don't let it get to me or get mad, but you know, just not everyone's had the background of training that I've had. They haven't spent the amount of time on a gym floor that I have. I know it's wrong, but man, I can't fix the entire, can't do it. You know, I just try to help as many people as I can and try to, you know, get as many people strong as possible that, you know, I can affect. So that's what I'd say.
So now I want to kind of go back to the injury
chart
a little bit. And not from your perspective, because obviously you're a football player, but you see people go to the gyms, especially I would say from the Arab side, you know, from the Kuwaiti side.
Yeah, I work with a lot of Emiratis. I love this country and I love working with locals.
So, oh, that's awesome, man. Yeah. Well, you've been here for 6 years.
Yeah.
So.
I speak a little bit of Arabic even. So I'm actually, yeah.
It's awesome, man. That's pretty sweet, dude. Like you've learned a little bit while you've been here. That's awesome.
I could honestly teach an entire CrossFit class in Arabic.
Dude, that's sweet.
Yeah.
Well, you worked at Metalize.
I worked at CrossFit Metalize. That's like my, yeah, that's where I started. So it gave me like the start here in Dubai. I worked there for almost 6 years.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, I left there on really good terms. And that was a very local gym. And there was many people in that gym that they just didn't speak English. And so
yeah.
I wanted to be like an effective coach and like communicate with my members and my clients. I just kind of took it upon myself. I better learn some Arabic so these people understand what to do.
Yeah.
So anyways, but yeah.
Good gym. I was there a couple days ago.
Yeah, it's
dropped
great.
In for a class. It's
awesome, man. I love that gym.
It was definitely a good time. But now, I mean, from the Kuwaiti side, we get a lot of Kuwaitis that say, I don't want to get hurt. I don't want this to hurt me. Or, you know, so-and-so got hurt because they were doing, you know, powerlifting or whatever. And, you know, my wife would be like, oh, why do you think this person gets hurt so much? I'm like, well, because they're an idiot. They didn't have a base.
Right.
You know, they didn't have that bodybuilding base, in my opinion.
That's so true. And I grew up bodybuilding, too. And, like, that's a huge advantage I also had. And a lot of people, they don't have that foundation. And they try to come into a gym. They discover, oh, wow, I like lifting weights. And they immediately try to lift too heavy too soon without building a base, like you said.
How would you teach that? How would you explain that to a person that sort of gets into powerlifting or Olympic weightlifting, for instance, and they come into it, they don't have the base, they sign up with an Olympic weightlifting coach or a powerlifting coach, and then they're plagued by injury over and over and over and over again, mainly because, I mean, my wife went into powerlifting, but she had worked out for 6-7 years doing bodybuilding.
So she came in with a foundation.
She came in with a little bit of a foundation. There are other people that have been doing this for years and month after month, week after week, you know, you see the injuries. Like, what would you say to that person and what would you say to their, you know, that person in general?
This is my biggest problem with CrossFit and so many CrossFit gyms. And I can't speak for all CrossFit gyms. They're all ran differently and all that. But you'll see so many people, everyday people that have no foundation in any kind of exercise. And they'll come into a CrossFit gym and then they're learning how to do a snatch. And I'm like, why? They're learning how to do a clean and jerk. These are like incredibly complex movements that require a lot of time and technique to learn. And these people are just walking on the street and they're learning it. You know, whether it be with a PVC pipe or an empty bar, doesn't matter. Like, they should build a foundation just doing basic squats, basic presses before they add in even like doing push presses or, you know, jerks or anything like that. And I see it, I don't like it, I shake my head, and I just choose to think about how can I help the people that I'm working with by just getting them strong, doing the basics. It's a problem that I feel like is pretty prevalent all over in many gyms, and people just don't understand that they need to get strong doing basic lifts first. I love powerlifting. I feel like if you have a base in powerlifting, then that'll carry over into Olympic lifting much better because at least you'll probably have some kind of decent foundation and strength. But people that try to come in and start doing Olympic lifting way too soon when they can't even properly do a strict press or a good solid front squat with good position, of course they're going to get injured. It's like a no-brainer to me. I've seen it happen countless times. I don't like it, but it just is the way it is.
Would you have certain strength markers for someone? Say I was a client, I came into you and I said, hey, you know, I've been training bodybuilding for 2 years and I want to do Olympic weightlifting. I want you to teach me how to do Olympic weightlifting or powerlifting. Would you have like strength markers? Like, all right, your deadlift should be, you know, 60 kg or at least one times your body weight or two times your body, would you have certain markers like
I think,
or
that's not a bad approach to take. First off, I would ask that client, why do you want to know Olympic weightlifting? Like, are you trying to be like competitive in CrossFit, or are you trying to go to the Olympics and Olympic weightlifting? Like, I would first want to know why they'd want to do it. If they gave me, you know, yeah, I want to compete in CrossFit, or I just want to learn it. And then I would say, all right, well, show me how to do a basic strict press. Show me a push press. Show me you're competent in these movements. Show me you can do a perfect overhead squat with perfect position before I even let you attempt a squat snatch. That's how I'd approach it. Yeah. Like, I'm very, I don't know, strict, I guess. That's how you'd say it.
Yeah.
I don't let any of my clients do any kind of Olympic lifting unless they just really want to learn or they're competing in CrossFit. Because I just don't see a point. Like, if you want to get better at your Olympic lifting, you get stronger. Like, once you've refined your technique, you know how to do a snatch and a clean and jerk. Like, how do you get better at those lifts? Simply by getting stronger. Increase your front squat, increase your deadlift, increase your push press. The basics, you always go back to the basics no matter what. That's what I've always found. Dude, if you get your front squat and your push press up, there's a good chance your clean and jerk is going to go up.
Yeah.
Very good chance. If you get your overhead squat better, your squat snatch is probably going to get better as well.
Yeah.
There's just a huge carryover to getting strong, and getting stronger literally helps you at everything. So I would let people do it as long as they're competent and they have good strength levels, I would say, before they attempt it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, I don't have any like benchmarks like, hey, you got to be able to do a double body weight deadlift before you can try to do clean and jerks or anything like that. I don't have that. I don't think about it that in depth. I treat each client as an individual. Everyone's a bit different as well.
Yeah, that makes 100% sense now. What do you think are some of the forgotten arts? Since, you know, you grew up around the bodybuilding stuff too. What are some of the forgotten things that people don't do what, you know, sort of I grew up seeing in the late 90s, early 2000s? Because I see a lot of it, especially in the CrossFit area, the powerlifting and the Olympic weightlifting. Like, dude, there is a huge gap when it comes to accessory movements, as they call them.
For sure.
Where I think, look, if you can't do bicep curls, you have no business doing other things. If you can't do a chin-up, then you have no business doing a pull-up. You know what I mean? Like skull crushers.
Dude, I spend a lot of time doing bodybuilding, personally. I really enjoy bodybuilding, and it's definitely given me a foundation and a huge advantage when I came into CrossFit. Like, when I first started CrossFit, I was already pretty strong. So I was way ahead of people that didn't have a background in strength, and they were just getting into CrossFit. Something that I think is kind of forgotten, I'd have to think about that, but what immediately comes to my mind, are you familiar with Dorian Yates?
Yes. Yeah.
That's someone I really admire and look up to. And like the way people train, like I don't think people train with purpose much anymore, or very few people do. Like I feel like the gym, dude, to me, it's like a sacred place. Like you go into a gym and you do fucking work. Like you're not on your phone. You're not resting too much between sets. Like you're getting shit done and you don't need to train for 2 hours. I see people waste so much time in a gym while they think they're quote unquote working out, where they're just like really standing around twiddling their thumbs. I think people don't train with purpose and they don't train with enough intensity and they don't probably take recovery and nutrition seriously enough. That is what immediately comes to mind. Like just good old fashioned fucking hard work. Just like putting it in. Like I guarantee I can get a better workout in 20 minutes than most people can get done in 2 hours. I can get more work done in 20 minutes than most people can get done in 2 hours. I mean, when I'm training, I'm training. I'm not wasting time messing around on my phone, resting, you know, 5 minutes between sets, talking to the hot girl in the gym. I'm not doing that. I'm there to get work done. And I wish more people took that approach to training. I feel like if they did kind of a more no-nonsense approach, to get a lot better results.
That's true.
That's true. My opinion, man.
You probably get a lot less clients though, because people are in here for the gram, man.
Dude, that's the world we live in, and I'm guilty of it as well. Like I find myself taking videos of me doing my own little training videos, and I try to do it as quickly as possible, so I can carry on my workout, or I'll have people take videos of me. This is the world we live in.
But there's a difference. I mean, you are a trainer, and that is sort of your brand.
It is.
Branding out there. So you have to do
it. It's a necessary evil. It really is.
No, for sure. It definitely is. I mean, for any trainer out there, if you're not taking videos of some of the exercises that you are doing, and I mean, I saw a lot of the content you posted, and I mean, I saw you had Z presses on there. You had a lot of legitimate shit Not the, you know, I'm going to stand up on the assisted pull-up machine and exercise my glutes by pushing it down with my legs. So that's the shit I hate seeing.
Man, man. There's so much bullshit, like you said, out there. And yeah, I get triggered, like, just seeing what's out there sometimes and seeing what other personal trainers are having their clients do. Yeah, it's genuinely upsetting, but man, I know what works. Like, I've spent my entire life in a gym. And like I said, I kind of take a no-nonsense approach, and that may not be the most client-friendly approach to take, but I can assure you this, I don't have any issues. I don't need any more clients. Like, people, I feel like they respect the way I train and what I've done, and they've seen that it works. And like I said, I train my clients very similar to how I would train myself. Just, I know what works. It's not super fancy. It's not super exciting, but guarantee you, it will give you the best results.
So how do you advise some of your clients on nutritional factors? Like, I mean, when someone comes up to you and they're like, yeah, you know, I'm going to sign up with you. I want you to be my coach or my trainer or whatever. What's the first thing you tell them from a nutritional perspective? You know, I mean, because at the end of the day, if you're not eating right, sleeping right, doing everything right.
Dude, your training doesn't really matter. You know, there's like the three pillars of whatever, I guess you call it training. The actual training, the recovery and sleep and nutrition. And they all work together. They're all like, they're kind of force multipliers. If you're doing all three of those well, then you're going to get great results. If you're missing one of them, then your results are going to be not as great, suboptimal for sure. So the first thing I tell anyone that I start to work with is just eat real food, real whole foods. Again, I am admittedly biased and maybe a bit almost borderline extremist. I'm a huge proponent of eating animal foods. All right. So I eat massive amounts of meat and massive amounts of eggs, and I feel great on that. And I genuinely know that eating real whole foods is the way to go. And I cut all the bullshit. Anything that comes in packages, I tend to stay away from. Albeit I do take whey protein powder. That's really the only packaged kind of food that I eat. People say that that might be kind of restrictive, but I don't really believe it to be so. Just real whole foods is the way to go. And I do eat some vegetables and some fruits, but I'd say probably 80% of my total calories that I get come from animal foods. I eat high protein, high fat. And then when I do eat carbohydrates, it's usually before, during, or after training. Again, if I was getting ready to compete in a CrossFit competition, then obviously I'd be taking in more carbohydrates. I choose to eat kind of a certain, I choose to eat certain foods based on what I know works and like how my body can digest it and what doesn't bloat me and what makes me feel good. And I eat not that many foods, you'd be surprised. And I also choose to look at food as fuel, you know. I'd say 99% of the time I eat for purpose and I do not eat for pleasure. And that's a huge mistake that I think many people make. Or they struggle with. Like, I think people in general, most people, they have a poor relationship with food. And that's another thing that I really want to educate and also inspire people to improve upon. It's just their relationship with food. You could go into this, it could be a whole other podcast about nutrition.
Oh, yeah,
for sure.
100%, yeah.
But dude, I mean, real whole foods, big on red meat and lamb. I do eat some vegetables and some fruits, but red meat, lamb, and eggs, I crush that every day and I feel great. And I say this with humility, but my body composition is, I'm really happy with it. And I stay quite lean and muscular year round. Like, you'll never find me not in good shape. I'll just put it that way.
Well, dude, you're pretty ripped and you're pretty jacked for your age, your size. I mean, what's your training look like on a daily basis?
I train myself probably a bit different than most of my clients because I've been doing this for so long, I just train intuitively, but I'll generally train sometimes 2 or 3 days in a row. And then, you know, if I feel like I need a rest day, then I'll rest. Some days I'll rest 2 or 3 days. Like, if I've had like a really hard training session, really intense, then I know my body might need 2 or 3 days to recover. Right now, I train very similar to like, I'd say like a college football player in a way, or a bodybuilder. I kind of do a lower body split and an upper body split. And then I do a lot of gymnastics, a lot of strict body weight work. I'm a huge believer in just being able to move your own body weight. And then I also throw in some strongman movements. Yeah, so I try to do it a little bit of everything. And I try to stay as balanced as possible. Like, I want to be strong as fuck. Like, I want to be able to deadlift, you know, 550, 600 pounds. But at the same time, I want to be able to do like 10 unbroken strict muscle ups.
Yeah.
So I try to stay everything in balance. I want to be competent with the barbell and also competent with my own body weight. And that's like, it's kind of branded that as like the way to train for like true strength, you know, master absolute strength and also master relative strength.
Wow, it makes sense, dude. Strongman training. So what do you do for strongman training? I'm a huge fan of strongman.
Dude, strongman's like, strongman, badass.
If I was stronger, that would be like what I would do.
Literally.
To compete.
If you think about this, there's no better form or truer form of work rather than picking up something heavy and moving it. Literally. Nothing better. Pick up something heavy and move it. That's like the truest form of strength, in my opinion. And Greg Glassman would even... He had a great quote. I can't remember what it was, but it was basically lift up something heavy and move it in as short a time as possible. And that's like the truest form of fitness as possible. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
My strongman training, I don't go too in depth. I do most of my training inside a functional fitness gym. I love sandbags. I love heavy farmer's carries, single arm, like suitcase carries, sandbag cleans over the shoulder, sandbag to a box, like kind of like Atlas Stone training. I don't really train with many Atlas Stones. If I had them, I would.
Yeah, Atlas Stones are fucking awesome. Dude,
oh, they are.
We used to have strongman at our gym, Kuwait, and then they got rid of the class. And funny thing is they worked so long to get Atlas Stones in there. And then once the trainer that was giving the class left, that was it. The Atlas Stones, they're kind of put aside.
Yeah, put to the side, not used anymore.
It's something that's sad because the Atlas Stone, dude, it's so hard to fucking grip that thing. Like, you have to actually learn how to get
super
it up.
Super great. Yeah, there's actually quite a bit of technique involved. You wouldn't think so, but there definitely is. I like strongman because it's incredibly functional, man.
It carries
over to everyday life as well. Like, there's something heavy on the ground. You should be able to reach down and pick it up and move it.
And get your hands, get like a sandbag. You got to get your hands under it. You learn how to roll it into the forearms, man.
Dude, I'll pick up sandbags all day long. Like, I'm happy doing that because I know it's going to be a good workout and I know it carries over to everyday life. So strongman, I love sled pushes as well. You know, like any kind of heavy carries, any kind of weighted or loaded carries, I'm a huge proponent of. So yeah. I do quite a bit of strongman, but at the same time, I always try to keep that balanced with moving my own body weight as well.
That makes sense. I mean, I saw you can do a lot of strict ring muscle ups. I saw that on your gram yesterday when I was going through it. It was like, dude, that's pretty impressive. Like, that's really impressive going from a CrossFit background.
Yeah, I actually had no background in gymnastic movements at all. I was really good with a barbell when I started CrossFit because obviously I played college football and, dude, I was power cleaning over 300 pounds before I ever started CrossFit. But no background in gymnastics. Like, I could not do a strict handstand push-up for the longest time. Like, it was quite embarrassing. Like, actually, when I won DCC back in 2014, I'm not even sure if I could do a strict handstand push-up at that point. Luckily, they weren't in the competition. But obviously, I found that as a weakness. And then I just, like, chose to, like, get better at them. Obviously, I do them all the time. And that's still one of my weaknesses. But I feel that I'm quite confident in moving my own body weight. And that's super important to me. And I think more people should spend more time just doing strict bodyweight work. And regardless of your size, whether, you know, you're a 150-pound bodyweight ninja, you should do gymnastics. Whether you're 205 and you're a bigger CrossFit athlete, you should be able to move your body no matter what.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And now let's go into like, all right, so you won DCC in 2014, right? Are you done competing in CrossFit? Are you going to make your way back into CrossFit or...
The only reason I ever got into CrossFit was to compete. Like, I'm an extremely competitive person. I was really fortunate that I've been able to make fitness a career. And I actually do have a genuine passion for helping people and helping people get strong and fit. And luckily, that's been able to sustain me now between my last competition and now, because I haven't competed in around 5 or 6 years. But if I'm ever healthy enough and confident enough to compete, like, you better believe you'll see me competing. Competing to me is super important. I think I grew up competing, playing football. I don't know what it is. It's kind of ingrained to me, but yeah, if I'm healthy enough, I will compete again for sure. I have aspirations to do it. I didn't really get to end my fitness career kind of on my own terms. Like, the last competition I did was when I won DCC. And then since then,
those are still pretty good terms. I mean,
they're good terms, man. Yeah. They are good terms.
But that's not when you wanted to call it quits.
No, man. Like, I have genuine ambitions of being one of the fittest people in the world. And I know that I can be. I just haven't had the opportunity to prove that. So if I can, and like my knee, my left knee with my quadriceps tendon, if ever like feels good enough to where I feel like I can move enough weight competently to compete at a high level, I will for sure. Like in so many ways, my fitness is actually better than it was back in 2014. It's just a matter of being able to do like heavy squatting movements that I'm still struggling with.
Yeah.
But I'm making strides in the right direction. And again, staying positive.
Well, dude, I mean, you got true strength right now, right?
Yeah.
And how's that going? Do you have, I mean, I'm assuming you got a couple of athletes that you got, you coach in.
Yeah, I do.
Mean,
so
how does true really, strength work? I mean, what's that all
true
about?
True strength, man, that's like my own brand. And it's coming along quite well. It's all started like very small, very organically. And I stopped coaching CrossFit about 5 months ago. And I just kind of realized it was time for me to do my own thing. And there's just a lot that goes on in CrossFit gyms that I don't really agree with or believe in. And so I just knew it was time to go off on my own. And I've been fortunate enough to, I can sustain myself with doing online coaching, and I still do some in-person training. And my goal is to get more online and to be able to actually focus more on that and also my own training. And also just doing true strength, basically what that means is just, I like to say it's like the perfect combination of, like I said, absolute strength moving a barbell, relative strength moving your body weight, and then having mental fortitude, being grit, like having mental strength. Like that's what I'm about. And I'm trying to preach that message and spread that message to more people. And it's a slow process, but it's kind of just me right now. But I know I'm headed in the right direction, and I'm excited about helping more people.
Well, dude, I mean, that's awesome, because in reality, and I was having this conversation with a trainer the other day, and you know, he was like, yeah, you're just putting in the time and just getting through the grind of, you know, working with people. And I was like, dude, you're saving lives.
Dude, you are, for
like,
sure.
Like, at the end of the day, you're saving lives. How does that make you feel, like, that you are actually contributing to someone's longevity?
I feel fucking great about it, and I love it. And I wake up every day, and I'm excited to go to work. And not everyone can say that either. Like, I genuinely love and have a passion for getting people stronger and just getting people healthier and more fit. And I've never, ever, ever really had a real job. Like the only place I could ever work would be in a gym. Like I grew up in a gym. I've always worked in a gym, and I always will work in a gym. Like I'm lucky that I know that about myself. And right now it's just, I'm trying to spread my message, you know, to a larger audience, and I'm getting there slowly but surely. You know, it's right now it's kind of slow, and I'm still doing a lot of personal training, but hopefully the goal is to do more things online and get more people involved, just doing fucking basic ass strength work and getting healthy and working out with purpose.
Yeah. Hey man. I mean, everything grows. Everything starts out small. Like, dude, look, I mean, we started with 20 listens, our first episode.
Dude, there you go.
Yeah, dude. Like, I mean, you can't, in all honesty, and I say this to any person starting a business, the first 2 years to 3 years, it's tough.
Dude, for sure. I'm like 5 months in. So I'm right at those, you know, beginning stages for sure. Like I've had the idea to do it for probably a little over a year now, but actually taking that leap, you know, quitting my job, quitting a salary job and completely working for myself, it takes balls, I feel like, you know?
100%,
you know?
Man. Yeah, it's a big risk.
It does. And I just knew this is what I had to do. And I'm slowly making, like I said, progress, stepping in the right direction. So I'm excited about where I'm at. And like I said, dude, I just genuinely enjoy helping people get strong.
That's the most important thing. And dude, at the end of the day, like when you have, and when you have the right intentions,
yeah,
the right shit happens for you.
Great, man.
You know what I mean?
Like absolutely.
If you're doing something that isn't malicious, and it's not like to get the Insta fame or to get, you know, the whole famous act, like you'd be surprised with how many trainers I know that are doing it for the gram fame.
Yeah, Instagram fame, for
and
sure.
It's like, but then when you see them as a coach or a trainer, it's like, dude, seriously?
Dude, there's very few fitness coaches or trainers that I admire and respect. And I hate to say that, but more of them, I think, are just, I don't believe in what they're doing. I don't agree with what they're doing. There's very few that I believe in and look up to. Because unfortunately, this is the world we live in. And people are kind of doing it to be famous on Instagram. I don't really give a fuck about that. I assure you that. And like I said, I'm going to preach my message. I'm going to keep doing things the way I've always been doing them. And it really, it all starts with hard work and consistency.
That's it. Yeah. That's it, dude. I mean, you're 5 months in and, you know, I want to talk to you when you're 3 years in.
Man, me too. Like, I'm honestly, this is crazy. This is my first ever podcast. Like I said, I'm excited about doing it. And I'm genuinely excited about like listening to this podcast again in, you know, 2 years time or 3 years time and seeing how far I've come. So it's awesome.
Dude, it makes a huge difference. Like if you listen to us in episode one.
I'm going to. I assure you
like,
that.
Episode one, it's like, Jesus. Yeah, I listen to it now. I'm like, fuck. People actually thought we were good. You know what I mean?
And man,
like it's just the evolution of the business mind.
Absolutely.
Later on. And I mean, I'm sure you're gonna get there. Your intentions seem pure and they seem right and it seems pretty cool and you know your shit. And so how can people get in touch with you? Like say people in Kuwait want to get in touch with you for training purposes or whatever. What's the best
way? I would say the best way right now would still be Instagram. Okay. I do have a website that's truestrength.co. And they can reach me on that, although I don't have as many training programs posted as I need to. And that's actually my goal in the next like 3 months to get more online training programs available for people. Cause right now I actually have so many clients that I'm doing online coaching with. I'm a bit overwhelmed. So I'm actually even thinking about bringing on someone to help me.
Oh, it's pretty cool. That's a good problem to have, man.
It's a good problem to have, but I have to make sure it's the right person for sure. I'm still kind of sorting through that, but ideally, I would love to get like training programs, you know, for that really anyone could do and anyone could benefit from. And I will get there and it's just like kind of in due time. But right now I'm so full with still doing some in-person training and doing just so much online personalized programming it just hasn't allowed me the time. Plus, I'm still training full-time. Like no matter what, I always prioritize my own workout, like no matter what. So training will always probably come first for me just because that's gotten me to where I am. And so I tell people all the time, the most important workout always is and always will be your own workout. And it just really comes down to practicing what you preach.
Yeah, 100%, dude. So what got you? Now I'm curious as to what got you to take that leap forward and, you know, get into starting your own business and, you know, kind of saying, all right, I don't want the basic 9-to-5.
Man, I'm doing my own work. I've coached thousands of CrossFit classes and it just wasn't really, I was kind of coaching. I got to the point where I was coaching classes with my eyes closed in a way. It's not that I didn't enjoy it. It just wasn't challenging me anymore. And I didn't feel like I was growing. And professionally, I just wasn't growing. I'll put it that way. And I'm a pretty independent kind of person. I'm an independent thinker and I know what I want to do and I know what works. And that just wasn't going to work out if I was always working for someone else in their gym. And for the longest time, I was going to start my own gym. Shoot, I still might start my own gym at some point. I feel like I might just get there. I might have to at one point. But for right now, I'm in a really good situation. I rent space at a CrossFit gym. I train clients and I do a lot of online personalized programming. And I'm much happier doing that. I feel like I'm genuinely helping more people. And when you're working for yourself, you can probably vouch for this. It doesn't seem like as much work. You know, when you know you're working for yourself and you're genuinely working towards a goal, that's just a good place.
100%. I can't vouch for it because I still work a 9-to-5,
dude. Apologies. But this is your passion now. It's your hobby.
Yeah, 100%, man. Yeah.
Forgive me if I'm jumping to conclusions, but if this grows into something where you could leave that 9-to-5 job,
100%.
You probably would.
100% you know? Would happen. Yeah. Definitely,
again,
dude.
I don't make a lot of money. I choose to be happy. I don't work for money. I work, you know, because I genuinely enjoy doing it. Like whether I was making a lot of money or not, I guarantee you're still going to find me in a gym. You're still going to find me like working out hard and showing people how to work out. Like I'll always do it, man. I just know it. Like that's just who I am.
That's awesome, man. I mean, that's really admirable. And I think the best part is that you're doing it with the right intention. And when you do something with the right intention, I always think, and my philosophy on life is, if you do something with the right intention, then, you know, it's just going to fall into place.
Dude, yeah, it will work out. I agree. If you live your passion, you'll find a way to be successful. You know, it's not going to come easy, but you'll find a way. I truly believe that.
That's awesome, man. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Man, Maddie, it was my honor. Thank you for having me.
No, it was an honor to have you on here, buddy. Trust me, man. Like, seriously, I mean, when you get a D1 football player on here. I mean, that for me, when I saw it, when you were like D1 football, like, shit, it's about time, you know?
Well,
like, man, had rugby players.
Like I said, I'd say my accomplishments are actually better in fitness than they were ever in like Division I football. But either way, I'm super fortunate to be doing what I'm doing, especially in this part of the world, and like genuinely excited for the future and just helping as many people as possible. So, and also just fucking getting jacked and in shape, and hopefully I can compete again.
Awesome,
we'll see.
Dude. We will see. Hopefully we'll see you at BOE soon.
I guarantee if I'm healthy, man, I'll be there competing.
Awesome. Awesome, man. Thanks, dude.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. You can also find us on Instagram at The Project Kuwait. Thank you, and join us next time.